Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Musan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
The Father will thank you because your word is true. Your word brings light and illumination to the simple. We receive your word today in simplicity of heart, and then we ask that as we hear the word today, we're not just hearers alone, but we are doers of your word. And we will bring forth fruits of righteousness. And the church says a big
amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't like the sound. So I want to share with us today in a two-part teaching that I've captioned, how to break out from addiction. How to break out from addiction. Now, this teaching is actually designed to provide us antidote to a global monster that is eating up the world so softly, quietly, and almost unnoticeably. And peradventure, this is sounding to you like, whoa, who does such a teaching in the church? Well, the reason why it has prolonged and it has spread so crazily, permit my use of the word crazily, is because we've been shying away from talking about it. And in case you don't know, peradventure you don't have, you know, any form of addiction to the specific I want to look into today, because I'm going to be putting the spotlight on pornography. And you might say, well, I'm not addicted to pornography. Whatever addiction it is, the principles that will be taught today is applicable to any form of addiction. And just for me to give you, just for the starters, what I'm going to do first is, somebody is wondering, why is it in the room that everybody is trying to shy away from it, but it's a serious issue. I'm going to read the statistics to you just to back off what I'm trying to say. I'm going to read the statistics to you, and I want you to listen attentively. According to the updated research in December 6th of 2017 by HuffPost, Huffington Post, and E&T magazine in 19th July 2019, they recorded that porn sites receives more regular traffic than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. 35% of all internet downloads are porn-related, according to WebRoot. 34% of internet users have been exposed to unwanted porn via ads, pop-ups, etc., etc. Now, we all are on that table, including myself. I had to set my phone, my Google search, on filter. 34%, that means 4 out of every 10 persons that have been exposed to pornography, they got exposed to it without wanting it. So even though you are not seeking porn is seeking you. So it is a major global trouble that we need to talk about. And it's killing people softly. It's killing people softly. Let me read on to you so you can get what I'm talking about. At least 30% of all data transferred, according to HuffPost, across the internet is porn related. That means 3 out of every 10 data across the internet globally is porn related. Number 5 point I want to show you. One of the statistics says, according to NBC News, you all know NBC News, they said porn is a global estimated $97 billion industry with about 12 to 14 billion of that 97 billion coming from the United States alone. In 2016 alone, more than 4,599,000,000 hours of porn were consumed on the world's largest porn site. PH Analysis says that. Do you know what it means to spend almost 5 billion hours? 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, till 5 billion hours. 28,000 people are watching pornography every second. How many of you know we need to talk about this? 20% of all porn, see, this one is heart-wrenching. 20% of all porn downloads are children related. They are called children porn. Can you, this is heart wrenching. So now I want to raise a kid and I will be afraid to buy him a hand phone, a good Android phone. I'm going to talk about this. Can we be honest? Some of you, let's be sincere with ourselves. Are we really, really, really matured to undo iPhone 5, iPhone 6? I think the latest 9 is iPhone 12 or iPhone 14. And you are just a click away. Look at the statistics. If you're not seeking it, it's seeking you. 4 out of every 10 persons. I've been exposed to it before. I was just on my phone, gently on Facebook. And I just saw, vroom. It's even cartoon. I'm like, ah, what is this? I had to go back and do my resetting, went to my Google, put everything on filter. So even if you're not seeking it, it's seeking you. It's wala, 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 wala. If you stay on your own, it will come seeking you. Now, hear this. 64% of young people, oh boy. 64% of young people ages 13 to 24 actively seek out porn weekly or more often. Do you understand what that means? That means 6 out of every 10 young people between the age of 13 to 24, they are actively, seeking out porn. This is a global disaster. A monster. We need to talk about it. Shine away from a female chauvinist or a feminist in this one. So men, don't come at me on this. I'm going to talk about this. Among college... Explain it. Why? Among college-aged adults, university students, 87% of men report having used or viewed pornography. Now, in contrast, 31% of women in the same age group have done so. That means out of every 3 persons visiting the porn site, 2 are men, 1 are women. So men visit porn sites more. This is statistics. And it's going to be very hypocritical on our side to assume that these statistics does not include church folks. Think about what we just read now. 35% of every internet exposure to pornography were unwanted. They come as pop-ups and ads. So even though we're not seeking porn, porn is seeking us. So this is a global disaster, a pandemic. We need to talk about it. You see, curiosity, uncontrolled fantasy, the search for self-esteem and identity, the quest for intimacy, and our allowing of counterfeit offer from Satan to temporarily soothe our inner pain, coupled with the male sexual orientation that is claimed or acclaimed rather, or greatly believed to be largely visual oriented, are some of the reasons that have been stated why men are more vulnerable. Guess what? Even though this is a fact, there is a way out. You see, Prophet Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah 2:13, gives us a very powerful hint. You see, when you do a proper dissection on these major causes, you will realize that inherent, there seems to be a genuine search to meet the heart desire, intimacy. There's a genuine search in everyone, somehow, somewhere, to actually get this intimacy thing. This inward satisfaction that is being searched out for. But seeking out pornography to meet that need is a dead, addictive, dead end. Because you will never come to satisfaction. So Prophet Jeremy makes a powerful statement in behalf of God in Jeremiah 2 verse 13. He says, my people have committed 2 evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have gone to hewn for themselves cisterns that cannot hold water. In other words, anything you look out for to get satisfaction, you will not be satisfied because they can't hold waters. Anything you look out for apart from God. And so the first step, therefore, to carry out in hijacking yourself away from this worldly global monster called pornography and addiction is to simply hijack your source of satisfaction, your source of happiness from anything that is ephemeral, anything that is temporal, And guess what? Nothing is ephemeral that is stable. Only God is. Therefore, make God your source of happiness. Encrown and enthrone him in your life and in your thoughts, and you will have your way out of this demonic monster forever. Make God, in other words, receive him into your heart, let him inundate your cogitation, and you have your way out completely into endless freedom forever. Say loud, amen.
Amen.
This is the way out. And I'm going to talk about these things little by little. So we have to talk about it. You know, Jeremiah 2:13 is so amazing. You know, he says, my people have committed two evils. Now, when he says two evils, you are thinking of one, two. But it's actually one. He says, they are forsaking me, the fountain of living waters. Now, let me explain the metaphors. You know, Prophet Jeremiah is one of those that used a lot of metaphor in scripture. Many times you hear him refer to Israelites as wife and God as husband. So he uses a lot of metaphors. Now, my people are forsaking me, the fountain of living waters, and they have gone to him for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Let me explain. Let me give you a derogatory explanation to this. Can you imagine? Have you ever tried wooing a lady before? Guys in the house, say a loud amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's sing your secondary school. Let not sing now. Have you ever tried wooing a lady in secondary school? You know, I went to a boarding school, and you know, you want to woo a lady, and you say, "Ah, I like you now. I'm gonna be boyfriend, girlfriend now. I like you now." And the girl goes, "Look at you. It's not your type." And then 2 weeks later, in night prep, you know, night prep those days. In night prep, you see a guy come sit beside her, and they were holding themselves. And like, this is my guy. And you look at the guy and you say, this guy. One, the guy is short. Sorry, apologies for those who are short. This guy is short. See pimples all over his face. You know those days we used to have a lot of pimples. He doesn't even have beard. You know those days we used to put methylated spirits. So he doesn't have beards, he's short, no body. So you are no longer just angry because she said no to you. You are no longer, you have passed the stage of getting angry for saying no to you after asking her out. But now you are more angry that you don't even rate me. You said no to me. As if that is not enough. You now want to say yes to a person that I feel I'm better than. Do you get the point? That's the way God is feeling here. That you are forsaking me, the fountain of living waters. By the way, the word water is metaphoric for satisfaction. So you are forsaking me that can give you abundance of it because I am the fountain of it. You have not gone to him for yourself cisterns that cannot even hold waters. How many of you get the analogy? That's the way God feels. Every time, look at it, I like it in the Message translation. It says, my people have committed a compound sin. How many of you know simple interest, compound interest? My people have committed a compound sin. They've walked out of me, the fountain of fresh flowing waters, and then dog cisterns, cisterns that leak, cisterns that are no better than sieves. Do you get what I'm saying? So God is like, this is derogatory. So you have to understand that curiosity, uncontrolled fantasy, search for self-esteem, all of these, they are inner fightings. We need to talk about these things. They have mutated into different forms. There are even several biases that we have that are not scriptural. All of these things, they are things that come up with youth age. And you need to deal with this thing with God's word early enough so that you don't become a victim of identity crisis. So that you don't, look at what is happening today in the world. Look at what America is discussing today. They're saying there are over almost 100 gender. Meanwhile, Bible tells us you only make them male and female created Eden. Now there is transgender male. There is transgender female. All of those nonsense. And pastors are being arrested for refusing to join men and men. Bible says Adam and Eve. They are saying Adam and Steve. These are serious issues. Social issues. And we need to talk about them. I hope you are not going to be embarrassed that I'm talking about this. Thank you very much. So the first step is to hijack your source of satisfaction from temporal things. And you hijack them, you crown God, the eternal being, and the most stable entity as your source of happiness. Can I be honest with you? This does not work only for pornography. It works for everything. If abundance or lack of a thing determines your source of joy, you are doomed. Because there is really nothing that is permanent except God. So if you stake the source of your joy on what you have and don't have, the day you have, you'll be happy. The graph of your joy life is going to be skewed. So the most brilliant thing, therefore, to do is to hijack your source of joy from ephemeral things and place it on eternal things like joy of salvation. At least that one is eternal. Nobody can take it away from you. There were songs we used to sing those days that have been replaced with some worldly, mundane songs now. Songs like, I have joy, the joy of salvation, joy every day. Songs like that. Now you've replaced it with it, Jehovah Shap Shap, do one today, Jehovah Shap Shap. So we have been put under some unnecessary pressures. There is peer pressure instead of peer mentoring. We have peer pressures. This one has to get this. This one has gotten this. Covetousness is all littered around. So this is not just about pornography. We are all on the road to addiction if you don't get this right from now. That you intentionally and sincerely hijack your source of joy from ephemeral things. For some people, as little as taking Coca-Cola, if they don't take it once in a week, they'll say, I'm not feeling myself. Really? And that's even terrible. A lot of sugar is in that stuff. For some people, theirs is, I've not gone club this week. I don't get joy. What do you mean by you don't get joy? Jesus is your joy. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is not in meat and in drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah! You have to hijack. This is a serious discussion. We have to talk about it. So it is evident that pornography is an elephant in the room. You know this. You know the word elephant in the room. Imagine you having as big as elephant is, and everybody is trying to ignore it like it doesn't exist. Church people don't like to talk about this, especially our parents' church. Let me give you a very simple example. So the marriage committee, because they learned that I'm a pastor. So they honored me. They said, okay, instead of having a 6 months, they are going to do 9 to 5 every day for 1 week for counseling for marriage. So I traveled. So every morning, where I was staying in my hotel, because I couldn't, I can't go to a house. So we were going there. And when they were done with all the counseling that should have been done for 6 months, that they could last for us, I was greatly favored. In 2 weeks, we did 9 to 5 every day, and we completed all the counseling. And then I looked at the smorgasbord of the teachings. Beautiful, amazing teachings. But nothing was told us about sex. They just say, when your husband wants that thing, make sure you give it to your husband. And when you want it too, the Bible says you should not deprive yourself. You must know yourself. And Adam knew Eve. I said, talk about these things. I remember the people that just got married, Minister Steve and the wife. We opened the thing very well. Let's talk about it so that we will not be getting information from the wrong places. We had, your son is asking you, daddy, explain. Have this type of sex genital. And you're like, is the way God. Explain. Ask questions. Answer questions. Let's teach them these things. Let's learn this thing early. Because the human mind is actually curious in nature. So they will always want to be an opportunity to feel that curiosity. And there's a lot of wrong information on the internet littered all about. So we need to talk about this. So I want to talk about, let's just look at some of the causes of this pornography pandemic. Then in second service, I will talk about the way out of it. So, because, time constraint. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 5 and verse 15. Matthew 5 and verse 15. The Bible says, Matthew 15 and verse 15. Matthew 15, I just have 20 moments, so I have to run. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. Now, Jesus gave the parable from verse 1 down to verse 5. Then the disciples were now asking, explain these parables to us. Verse 16, so Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Let me explain the background. The Pharisees were pointing finger at Jesus' disciples, saying, look at your disciples, they are lawless. They are not washing the plate and their hands before they ate. Now, there's a kind of, it's not like their hands were dirty. In Jewish tradition, the book of Leviticus, there's something we call ceremonial sanctification, where they just do ceremonial sanctification. They just sprinkle water and all of that, just to fulfill, you know, just for spiritual rites, rituals. So, Jesus replied them and says, you these whitewashed sepulchres. And then he began to speak. Then the Bible says, the disciples came and says, Master, ha, the way you spoke, the Pharisees are angry. Then Jesus says, so what? Every tree that my Father has not planted shall be rooted up. That means every established doctrine of the Pharisees that is not consistent with the doctrine of Christ shall be rooted up. Then when they now later got to a close place, very common of the disciples, they will always ask questions. Like when they couldn't cast out the devil, they went and say, Master, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus explained. So Jesus always taught them in closed doors. That's why if you're in this church, and you only come for Sunday service, you're not in any group, you are missing a lot. You are missing steward meetings. You are missing group meetings. We do solid teachings. We have time to explain certain questions in your heart. You get better understanding in such platforms. So Jesus was now explaining. He says, you see, look, let me explain the parable to you. Don't you also understand? Because they were saying, that, you know, they did not wash their hands. So whatever they ate with that hand is cursed. It will defile them. Then Jesus said, no. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and they defile a man, not what a man eats. Are you following? Come on, church, do you understand? Go back to verse 17. Don't run ahead of me, please. He says, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? That whatever you eat with your mouth, it goes through the, and then is eliminated. Then in verse 18, he says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and they defile a man. He says, for out of the heart, look at it, for out of the earth proceed evil thoughts. Somebody say evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, all these things actually proceed from the heart. In other words, every sinful practice a person engages in, Jesus is telling us here that it was first premeditated, whether consciously or unconsciously. So while you are there trying, a lot of people try to fight sin when it's already given birth to. But sin doesn't begin from action. It begins first with the thoughts. So for some people, while they were there in their room, they were already thinking how they are going to engage in that sinful practice. Oh, the way that girl dressed today in academics. I love the way she dressed. I wish I can be in bed with her. You were alone in your room. As far as God is concerned, you already committed the fornication when you were alone. Because it is at that time you ought to have nipped it in the bud. You don't fight temptation. You now say, when you are now pants down, hey, I'm the righteousness of God. Shut up. That's not when you fight it. When it was still in a thought form, in a seed form, you crush it. So every sinful practice actually begins with a thought. So instead of trying to fight the act, replace your thought with right thoughts, and you produce the right result. And you replace the right thought with speaking words. Because words are powerful than thoughts. So he says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders. So what are those evil thoughts? Murders. Adulteries. So are you telling me adultery, fornication, killing somebody, they were all beginning from the thoughts? Yes. One of these days, I'll do another teaching to explain to you the anatomy of sin. God was the first person to teach about sin in Genesis. He taught it to Cain. God said, Cain, why are you wrought? If you did well, I would have received you. Be careful, because this anger is brewing in your heart. Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is to have you. But if you stand up as a man, you would overtake it. You will overcome it. But you know what happened? He didn't overcome the anger. The next verse we read, what happened? And Cain went to kill his brother. So it all began as a thought. In second service, I will show you brilliantly about this. So you see, Jesus is telling us here that every sinful practice begins first as a thought. It begins first as a thought. So, all these things that were listed are actually coming from the thought. So I'm just going to list them and just minute on them, then we close. Then second service will explain better. Number one, causes of addiction to pornography. Internal struggle by trying to start new things. You know, there's something that is common with the youth age. You want to try new stuff. And it's a cognitive bias. Wanting to try something new. And it's the reason why you find so many brilliant people don't make headway in life. If you are multi-talented, you are likely not going to make headway in life. Because this is the major danger of those who are multi-talented. You want to try different things because you are talented. And you become, you know, jack of all trade, master of none. I remember then at some point, I wanted to be a Amokachi. I began to walk like this. My mom removed broom. Say, hey, did I get back to you with K-leg? Because I began to walk, I want to be like a Amokachi. Hey, with my leg like this. Those days, if you don't have bow leg, you are not a footballer. Later on, I said, what I want to do now is I want to rap. So I'll go and buy clothes, all eyes on me. And I still have some of those things in my head. And make no mistakes about it, I had a just cause for following those rappers like Camelonier, Tupac. Please think they can see me lean, anything so hentity to be seen. Camelonier, they see me rolling, they hating, patrolling the trolley, catch me riding there. Try to catch me riding. Oh, is it Tupac? When I was young, mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out in the street. Ain't no woman in line. I used to ball. I would go all crazy, all eyes on me. You know the shirt, all eyes on me. All eyes on me. I got all of those stuffs. I said, no, I want to be a rapper. Anytime they come to report to my mom in Yoruba will say, Efile, I'm taking Jesus to the mass in a year. Like, don't worry, I'll finish his case on the altar. This one will serve Jesus. So, it's normal with youthful age to be exuberant. You just want to try a lot of things. So, the curiosity, the struggle, and somehow you believe a lie that you are missing out on something. You are in your room with your roomies. And all of a sudden, a sugar daddy comes to pick one of your roomies. The next day, he comes again, and she comes with a lot of stuffs that your parents couldn't afford. She came with a lot of Kellogg and cornflakes, you know, milk, all of those things, and you're like, oh, in your heart, you're feeling like, ah, oh, this holiness thing, I'm missing out. You're not missing out nothing. Don't let the devil lie to you. It's a lie. So curiosity, the internal struggle to try something new, and the untrue assumption that one is missing out on something. Number two, uncontrolled fantasy. Some of you, imagination won't kill you. You see a guy comes to church with a Rolls Royce, say loud amen. Yeah, because very soon all of you are going to be parking your cars there. Yeah. And one of the major problems we're going to be having is after service like this, you know, somebody's going to come out, Mifu or whoever's going to be taking announcement to come and say, hi church, just a minute, please, if you are the owner of Range Rover with the number X23, can you say a loud amen to that? Yeah, we're going to be rich till we die. Yeah, it's a rich church, you're not broke people. No, we ain't. So, uncontrolled fantasy, when we fantasize on ethical sexuality continuously without restraint, it reaches a crescendo. You see, when you fantasize on scriptural, on ethical, sexual, you know, immoral thoughts for so long, it reaches a crescendo where your willpower is crushed, that you can no longer have the inward resisting ability against that thought. And when opportunity presents itself for you to practice that thing physically, you won't be able to overcome it. It is at that point you now give up. And then you now say, I didn't know what happened to me. After you've already been cut pants down. So when we fantasize on ethical sexuality without restraint, I can do bad by myself. You know, I used to tell people that one of the major problems of our generation is this, you know, casting off restraint, precious restraints. I can do bad by myself. I'll be 16 years. I go to work like this. So if you touch me, now you are getting freedom for the first time. By the way, if you are an under-level student in this church, welcome to this church. Go to our website and download Responsibility of Freedom. You don't know how to handle freedom. Many of you are virgins at home because your parents were only policing you. Now you are getting a slight slice of freedom. You want to move overboard. You say, allow me to enjoy myself. So, meanwhile, you don't know that freedom without boundary is bondage. Look at America today. They just passed a bill 2 days ago that any parent that refuses a child of claiming what his or her gender is will be jailed. Excuse me, what is happening? Jesus is coming soon. That has to be the answer. I mean, I was almost in tears listening to one of my Nollywood, you know, preferred artists by the name, you know, Gabrielle Union. How she was talking with her husband, her newly married husband, who is a basketballer, how that they gave birth to a child and they had to allow the child to decide her own sex. It looked like I'm a girl that is trapped in a man's body. Are you kidding me? The Holy Ghost, broom. The Bible says there's a madness in the heart of a child. And before you start laughing, the last time I was at a shopping mall, I saw a boy, a small boy, 2 years old or 3 years old, was arguing with the mom. He came to hold on to something. The mom said, see, your dad did not give us enough money for this. We can't buy this. No, I must buy this. I trust my mom. She will look at you like this. Just a look. How many of you have your uncle come to visit you and they serve your uncle food and your uncle say, I'm done. Junior, come and join. Come. And your mom will say, Junior, your uncle is calling you. Hey. And those are the people you are saying they are old school. And we are raising monsters. So when we fantasize on ethical sexuality continuously without restraint, it reaches a crescendo where our willpower is weakened, and when opportunity comes to indulge practically in that sin, we can't help it. So uncontrolled fantasy. So once your mind is traveling too far, drag it back. And if it's looking or sounding too stubborn for you to drag it back, use your words. Don't fight thought with thought. Fight thought with words. The moment you notice that your thought is going haywire, everything on skirt, you can't just rest. Once you see anything, you tell yourself in the name of Jesus. That's what Job did. He says, I have made a covenant with my eye, not to look to a woman lustfully. Job 36 verse 1. So you must make that effort. Number 3, the search for self-esteem. That's why if you've been missing Bible study, I feel so sorry for you. We've been talking about identity in Bible study. Whether you like it or not, God has placed a God-sized hole in the heart of everyone that only God alone can fill. And until you get to know yourself in the light of God, your search will be endless. Until you find out what God has said about you, who you are, what you can do, until and except you come to terms with scriptures about who you are in Christ, your search for identity will be endless. And guess what? It always ends in tears. Is it not search of identity that you are with your friends and then all of them are taking cigarettes and they pass you your own and you feel like, I don't smoke, but I don't want to feel like the only one left out. So the problem is you just want acceptance. It is called affirmation bias. These are cognitive biases that grows with adulthood that you have to curtail as early as possible. Otherwise, am I saying that, if you smoke, you go to air fire? Listen, let me tell you something. Christianity is not about separating evil from good. Christianity at maturity stage is leaving even the good for the best. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. He says, look, let us set aside the weights of sin that do beset us, so that we can travel light the race before us. You don't go on a 100-meter race with Timberland and jeans. I mean, even though it is not sinful, but it's going to impede your speed. It's not about, we're talking about purpose. We're talking about you saying, is it wrong to cover your hair? You are a baby. Let's move on to bigger stuff. Paul says that I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. This is Christianity. Stop all this. Are you not saying it's a sin for me to smoke? It's not a sin. It's not in scripture. Quote me anywhere. But what does it do to your Christian testimony? Imagine me coming to this place now and I say, good morning, church. Praise God, man. I want to talk. You see, everybody will leave the seats. Because it doesn't portray Christ. Pastor, are you not saying it's wrong for me to wear? If you wear citrus and we are seeing all the things, everything, you can't cover. You spend 2 hours in your closed room to dress up only to come out naked. Wow. Like, wow. Is it a sin? Shut up. We're talking about sin here. We're talking about leaving even the good for the better. Or the best, rather. That's Christianity. Don't reduce Christianity to do's and don'ts. It is righteousness, joy, and peace. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the search for self-esteem and identity, shattered ego on the road to pursuing our goals, sometimes leaves us disgruntled. So sometimes people in their pursuit of goal, they couldn't achieve it, so they are left disgruntled, and then, they have dashed hopes. So in their way of filling that void of lack of or non-achievement, they resort to unethical things to fill that hole that can never be satisfied. Example, pornography. That's why people who watch pornography, they watch it alone. Secretly. Because they don't want anybody to see them, but God is watching you. Angels are watching you. Demons are watching you too. In case you don't know, you are a spirit living in a human body. You are not just pack of flesh. That's why if you are so much, the moment you are getting so obsessed about how you look, there is a problem. There's nothing wrong with looking good. Even me, I like to drip. I never get money that as well. But the moment it becomes an issue, but one thing I will never remove is my mustache. No matter, even if my wife is complaining to tomorrow, I will never remove my mustache. Praise God. My second name is Alvaro Nkoku. All right, I have 5 more minutes. So, the search for self-esteem. See, be self-okay in Christ. All this, you following Kim Kardashian, you know, start going buying silicone. You want to look like, and some men too, they want a godly girl like Chioma Jesus, but they want it inside Cardi B's body. You can't have your cake. I mean, you eat your cake and have it. Some people, they want Kumuyi, but they want it in the Brad Pitt body. Imagine some ladies. Anyways, this is not relationship study. But the point is this. Listen, cure that deficiency of self-esteem before it kills you. Cure it. Then lastly, the quest for intimacy. Pornography perverts intimacy. You see, one of the most... Oh boy, how do I even explain this? One of the most unethical, heart-wrenching facts about pornography is that it perverts the intimacy created by God to happen between heterosexuals. And then it reduces it to a selfish exploration of genitals, which, by the way, doesn't even give satisfaction. By the time you are now getting married, you now start spending 30 seconds. Because scientists have also proven that it also affects your psychology, the psychology of your sexual practice. You are killing yourself. Spiritually, it is wrong. Biblically, it is wrong. Scientifically, it is wrong. What are you enjoying? I know you will go to the website where they will tell you that it also relieves of stress. That is the point I'm making. Nothing can relieve you of stress and stressors. Nothing can relieve you of this, you know, this emptiness inside except God. The only one who can fill the God-sized desire in your heart is God. Fill him up. Let him fill you up. And then you come out into freedom endlessly. I know time is fast spent already. So I'm just going to continue in second service. I have 5 things to do to break out from addiction. I've shown you the courses. 5 things to do to break out from addiction. You know, and I think I will talk about that in second service, because second service must start 9:30. I believe you've been blessed. Were you blessed? Were you blessed? You know, like the woman at the well. Like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Some of you, some of the things you think you are suffering from are just symptoms. You need to go down to the root and solve the problem. I need a guy in my life. Are you sure it's a guy you need, or you have refused to solve the problem of loneliness? Let me give you a scenario. Imagine a lady, you know, who always feels lonely. And just in the desire to want to have someone accompany her all the time, she unavoidably had to become a friend to her next door girl. Meanwhile, our next door girl has a sugar daddy that comes to visit her often. So one or two occasions while she's there in her room, the sugar daddy comes to meet her. And the next time the sugar daddy will come, the sugar daddy came with his friend. And then they paired. Before you know, that begins the journey of an endless sexual perversion. So now you can see, maybe we should not be too fast to judge people. Maybe if you see prostitutes on the road, people who are having sugar daddy, maybe their problem is not what you think it is. Maybe the real problem in the beginning was just simple loneliness that was not solved. And it now escalated into them getting exposed and vulnerable to all stupid sexual vices. So if you don't cure this problem of sexual perversion, if you don't cure this problem of loneliness early now, you can't determine where it will end you. So be very comfortable with God's abiding presence with you. That is the only thing that is definite, constant. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. So your experience of spirituality will not be skewed, and your fulfillment will not be skewed. The graph will be predictable if and only you let God, who is eternal and stable, to remain the predominant substance of your cogitation. This is the recipe for living a life of satisfaction. So you have to deal with these things early. So I'm sure the woman in John 4, she was part of the statistics I just read. She has had 5 husbands. Listen, the Samaritans, don't forget they were related to the Jews. In fact, the word Jews was later used to, it was initially was a short form to Judah. But Samaritans were also Israelites. So they have a deep, rich, you know, Jewish culture. If they said she was married to 5 husbands, not that she had 5 hangouts or 5 boyfriends, 5 husbands. That means she did wedding in one. She broke up. She divorced. Because Moses said you can receive letter of divorcement. But it's in the beginning, it is not so. Marriage 2. Until she got to marriage 5. And she got tired and said, you know what? I don't want to get married. Let me just get a guy that will be cohabiting together. Friends with benefit. I'm tired of this marriage shit. Marriage is a scam. Have you seen it on Twitter? Marriage is a scam. See, if you keep listening to the wrong folks who give you information about what Bible has taught, you're on your own. And then she left marriage and said, you know what? I'm tired of all these commitments. Let me get into a guy that I don't have commitments. Everybody have their own bank account on their own. Everybody's on their own. You know, we just come and stay. By the way, I'm not saying that you must have joint accounts. All right? That's a teaching for you. When you want to get married, we'll talk about those things. If you are still single, just calm down. In other words, go and get married. Did I shade you? All right. So, but guess what? Jesus knew how to solve the problem. When Jesus saw her at the well, Jesus did not say, oh, I can see. Jesus said, in fact, the one you are staying with now is not even your husband. That means she is done away with marriage. 5 different husbands. Now she just wants to have a guy that will be servicing her. And Jesus knew what her problem was. Jesus knew that even if she had 10 men having sex with her every day, she would still not be satisfied. Have you noticed that what that object of addiction, there's always, anytime you look at the pornography, you feel like, this is the last time I will check it. It's a lie. The very moment you think you're going to do it for the last time and that it will go, it will not go, it will grow. Because the satisfaction you get from doing something that is appealing to the soul is more. The same thing applies to spirituality. The more of God you know, the more of God you want to know. Can you imagine Paul, after 20 years of ministry, says that I might know you and the power of your resurrection, being conformed even unto his death. Why do you think I study daily? Some of you think I'm a great teacher of God's word, but I still feel like I've not learned anything. Because the satisfaction you get from sinking anything that is appealing to the soul is more, is the yearning for more. That's why God is bigger than all of us. But Jesus gives her a word. Jesus says, look, I have a water that I will give you and you will not thirst again. So Jesus takes the preaching apologetic and he uses the metaphor of water. And water symbolizes newness. So if you're not born again today, nothing can fill that heart if you're not having Jesus in your heart. You need to make that conscious. Stop the struggles. I know I'll talk about some of the natural things that can cause it too, you know, like music. I'll talk about those in second service. You listen to songs like Soapy, just Soapy, Soapy, and you know, and you're wondering why that spirit, you see, you think song is just ordinary. These are evil vices. You listen, look, let me tell you something. Look, listen, listen. You have to make a conscious, deliberate decision to be on the Lord's side 100%. No staying on the fence. And you need help. And you know, I understand that many people are quiet because they don't want to discuss their woes, because they've been to churches where pastors, sometimes they will come out and they form some level of, you know, holier than thou. How can a pastor come and say, my wife and I have been married for 30 years, we have never argued for once? Ha-ha. So people who are having consistent, an argument is normal. I like to call it in my home, intense conversation, not argument. Although we've had not up to 2 of it since we got married, almost a year. Because we actually agree on a lot of things. But it's normal. In fact, if you're in a relationship, whether it is marital, boy, girl, where there is no disagreement, one person is being oppressed. You must disagree to agree. But when you hear pastors come to give testimonies that make people feel like they are the devil, so they rather stay with their problems than coming to the pastor. But in a church like this, no! If you have a suffering or you are having any issue, come, let's talk about it. We'll give you the way out. Be sincere. Talk to your HOD. Your HOD have been trained. Your pastors, your ministers have been trained to keep secrets, to be able to help you out. That's why Galatians 6:2, it says, let those who are spiritual to restore those who are falling. In the spirit of meekness, lest they themselves fall to the same problem. So Christianity is not a personal race, it's a corporate work. Join church. Stop playing church. Join department. Follow and you'll be made. Were you blessed by the word? Lift your hands and thank him.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org. or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.